going on?
Hey, Zach. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm fantastic. What'd you do this weekend?
Oh, went and saw a movie Friday. Went nice. And rode some bikes. It's finally nice here in Virginia. But, you know, March, it'll be like Arctic weather next week, and then it'll be 80 degrees. And I'm not a fan of spring because you don't know what you're going to get. No, you can't expect anything.
What movie did you see?
I went and saw Dune 2.
Oh, the 12-hour
trilogy. Please don't mistake
trilogy.
Me for, like, I had to get on board with the Dune thing, mainly because mutual friends that I really like are all about Dune, so I had to kind of be like, all right, let me get into
this.
What,
did you watch the first one?
Only, like, leading up, knowing we were doing this movie.
Okay, but you at least saw the first one, then you, okay.
Yeah, and I love sci-fi. I really do. Like, on paper, this should be a series and a movie I really get into. But truthfully, I was like, why am I not getting into this? Like, I love the mysticism, the sci-fi factor. I love the actor, like everyone does. But I finally kind of figured out why I'm like, ugh, about it. It's like so, it's like so tan.
It is like, very monochromatic.
Right. I have to have color. You know, people decorate with like all these like soft monochrome tan and off-white. And I'm like, no, I'm an art teacher. You know, but yeah, Dune is like that equivalent of that person that has like all off-white home. It's like tan and gray.
Wait. Is that why you don't like Rothko?
Well, I wouldn't call him monochromatic, honestly.
No, not really. But, I mean, I could see kind of an equivalence there. Not to bring up a sore subject, but...
No. I like our Rothko episode because I think that we did... I hope that we did a good job showing that there's not a right and wrong answer. Like, I'm allowed to not like Rothko, and you're allowed to passionately love Rothko. They're both valid stances, right?
That's all art. I mean, we should all be free and have the freedom to like the things that speak to us. And that's kind of what Rothko even said. Like, he was like, I want you to enjoy my paintings, but not all of you will. And I think that's an important distinction, that we can all have these values or alignments with pieces.
Right. Like, even in the episode you mentioned, like, he wouldn't have wanted me buying. Like, if I won the lottery and could buy a Rothko, he wouldn't want me to own it.
Right.
And I respect that.
And you were both fine with that decision. Yeah.
Right.
Everyone's
fine. I don't know about you, but thankfully we have friends and family that listen to our podcast. And occasionally someone will reach out to me to probably prove to me that they did indeed listen to our episode. And this person was like... I think, validated. They were like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, I don't get Rothko either. I just don't. And I'm like, well, I'm glad I could make you feel okay with that, because it's not like, oh, people who know and appreciate art like Rothko and everyone else is on the outside of this like big secret society that like knows how to understand Rothko. And I think they were thankful that, you know, I don't know, I validated that. But the other thing they said after I said, yeah, totally, I get it, and they were like, it's just so pretentious. And I don't think they meant that, like,
the art itself was pretentious, or
I don't think they meant that, like, the art itself was pretentious. I think
not
they meant
we were
that
being
whole
pretentious.
Right, that whole aura around, like, well, you don't like Rothko, you don't get Rothko. I think people feel intimidated when they don't get something that is a little bit high concept like Rothko, and that other people enjoy. I think there is a group of people out there that enjoy looking down their noses because they feel that they can kind of be on the inside of something.
And
that's a big turnoff for people. It pushes, you know, that person, I think, even said, like, that has pushed me out of museums, that pretension that I just catch a whiff of a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of what we tried to discuss in that episode, was like, there's the artist's perspective, what he brought to the table that was so meaningful to him, and that he wanted to be able to share that through his works with other people, to have them have an experience with him ultimately through the paintings. But I don't think he was trying to be pretentious in, like, I don't think he would have wanted someone to feel bad because they didn't like his work.
I agree with you there. I think that it's not Rothko's fault. I think it's the people that have surrounded themselves in, like, art culture. We would blame it on them. And there's those people everywhere, of course. Right.
They'll hijack something that was meant to be a positive, pure experience.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And, like, can I just say, I enjoy drinking wine. You know this, Zach. Like, I'm not going to turn down a glass of wine.
Seen it once or twice.
I've absolutely just cannot. It's like the cringiest thing to me to go to certain, like, wine tastings, or like that same group of pretentiousness exists around wine tasting. And, you know, you've all heard the parodies. You could mock the, like, wine tastings of, like, catching the, like, you know, flinty yet herbaceous taste, you know, like all of that to me is such a turn off. But, like, I love a good glass of wine, right?
Well, it is interesting that this was a very polarizing episode for a lot of people. And we actually got a lot of feedback from listeners from lots of different places saying either yes. We heard from Carrie, who said that, you know, it really did kind of, she tried, like you, but it didn't really ultimately change her perspective. But then we heard from, like, Rebecca and Molly, who said that they're big fans. And in fact, Molly made an interesting comment. She said, you know, he's a mystic. And I thought, oh, maybe that's also why I really gravitate toward him. I mean, growing up in college, I was studying religion, and I always got kind of drawn towards the mystics because they were trying to commune with, whether it be nature or God or whatever it was, the divine. And I think that's part of what he was kind of doing, was he was communing with his own emotions by creating these pieces. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting perspective that Molly had, that, you know, he has a very kind of mystical side. And then, you know, we got a really cool picture because I posted the picture of the Rothko piece in the museum in Spain. And Lynn, one of our listeners, who actually owns a really cool yoga studio called River's Edge. But she posted this picture of herself standing in front of the same piece in the same place. And that was kind of a nice little matchup. So yeah, we got a lot of kind of feedback on this one that people felt strongly about it.
Right. Well, and to, like, I do not want to take away from, I love that you have that connection, and I even hear you speaking and it's like, oh, I want to be part of that, that, like, you like mysticism and religion,
yeah,
you get
you
that, like,
to.
I want to be part, but, like, just because you're on a different, you know, you're on that wavelength that Rothko was on and you got there, maybe there's a lot of, like, wavelengths and I'm just, like, on a different one, I guess.
Well, it's not a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, again, it's like, you know, boats. Like, some people like boats, some people don't like boats. Some people just don't even care about boats or think about boats. So
right.
I think definitely it's not meant to be something where we all have to agree on this. In fact, there are plenty of people not listening to our podcast because they don't even give a damn about art. Like, some people just don't even care about art to begin with. So,
but we're hoping to bring it to that. Yeah. So the person that reached out to me and was like, oh, that's part of that pretentious crowd that turns me off. I think of them with as an audience because I want to bring art to them to make it accessible, I guess. It sparked a good discussion about, you know, you're going to get some and you're not going to get some. But yeah, we even talked about that. Would you call it a fairy tale? The Emperor's New Clothes. I don't know if that's a common knowledge fairy tale, but where, you know, certain people are just going to pretend to get it to be part of society or whatever. And
yeah, no, that's a great point. And that's part of what we want to do is bring enough different types of mediums and artists to the table that people can kind of get to know different things that might stand out in the public space, but that maybe they don't know much about. And then you can make your decision, like, you either love it or you hate it, or you're indifferent.
And I think moving forward in future podcasts, I'm excited about some upcoming topics, including I have a passion for architecture.
I love architecture too.
Right. And I almost feel like I don't know enough about it. I had a art history course I had to take because nothing else fit in my schedule. And I was just like, ugh, 19th century architecture, you know, and it would have never been something I signed up for. But sure enough, I ended up with an appreciation for it. And of course, yeah, I think it was 19th, 20th century architecture where I learned a little bit about our most famous, probably 20th century architect that we'll be talking about in our next podcast.
you didn't actually decide to become an architect, I guess, through that.
No, but
survey course.
I don't know. Like, the older I get, the more I look back and I'm like, why didn't I was really good at math. I mean, that shocks people. I think we stereotype art people as like, I was really strong at math and geometry. I've got this like mental list. I don't know if you have this of like, okay, jobs that I wonder what my life would have been like if I'd have gone down this path or that path or, you know, architect might have been one of them. I used to tell people I also wanted to go find the Loch Ness Monster. That was a a career goal.
That's great. I guess mine would have been like diplomat was number one on my list. And then this very secret desire to just be a hot dog salesman on Long Island, like down by the beach. So I have like a little cart with an umbrella and like I would serve like Italian ice and hot dogs. And like...
So- Not like great. Going up and down like this, like ballpark stadium
No. I mean, I don't have a good enough yell for that. Like, I have to work on my pitch a little bit.
But imagine your glutes. Imagine if you like going up and down those steps.
Yeah, no, I just wanted the cart. I just wanted the cart with the umbrella.
I mean, hot dog, Zach. Why not ice cream truck? Ice cream truck is way
more exciting. It's out of fashion. It's out of fashion.
Can I say one more job that I want?
Oh, yes.
Will you allow me that?
Yeah.
I want to either A, be the person that names like nail polish or lipstick colors, or B, I would be satisfied with naming like the paint colors at like Benjamin Moore or like Sherwin Williams. Wouldn't that be the best job?
So, right. So, yeah, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I mean, you should come up with some good, like, what's your shirt, Claire? I mean, if you can do this.
Oh, that is putting me on the spot. That'd be like, I don't know, I have to be like Mediterranean escape.
See, that's pretty good. I would buy that. That's gonna be my new living room color.
Maybe a little lengthy, but yeah, we can
workshop that,
right? Am I hired?
You're hired.
Did I get the job?
Done. You can work at the hot dog cart / paint.
Oh yeah.
All right, this is great. Can't wait to see you next time.
All right, thanks, Zach. It's always
Talk
fun.
To you soon. Bye.
Bye.